he says, count to five for me.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
What an exciting intro, bro.
Oh yeah, you know, I'm always got energy, remember? It's been a while.
Do you really always have energy?
Do I always have energy? No.
Oh my god, there you are.
Doctor, how you doing, doctor?
Dude, how are you?
Oh, it's been a year.
Has it been a year?
I think so. The last time we had the little therapy session, it was around this time last year.
Okay.
Closed chat. Yeah, no, I'm not looking at chat. I'm not going to look at chat.
Okay, good. I'm not looking at chat either. I'm just looking at you.
I'm looking at you as well. Last time you made me cry, you didn't make me cry, but I cried because we were talking about some intimate things. It's very hard for me to get into with my emotions, so that was a crazy thing.
So, yeah, I noticed that your camera sees a lot around you. So, is there usually like a lot of stuff going on behind you?
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes.
Okay, cool. So, what do you want to talk about today?
I want to talk about, you know, what's been bothering me is just like the internet. Okay. You know, I feel like a lot of things are out of my control, and I feel responsible for a lot of things that I can't control. Okay. And also, you know, managing relationships while being a streamer. I still struggle with that, actually. And you know, when you told me I should talk to my dad about, I don't remember exactly what you said, but I should talk to my dad about why I wanted to do the things I wanted to do, whether it be making money early. I never did that.
That's okay. Do you feel like that's not okay that you didn't do that?
Yes. I actually was very sad yesterday because, I just want to give you a quick update. I got a girlfriend now.
Okay. Did you not have a girlfriend last time?
No.
Had multiple last time?
Yo! No!
Okay, so you have a girlfriend.
Yep, got a girlfriend.
Remember
when we were talking about, I don't know if I'll ever find the one because, you know.
God, emotions?
I don't know who like me from who, me.
Who you are, yeah.
And things like that.
Yeah, can I ask about your relationship?
Yeah, I'm an open book, man. There's nothing you can't ask me about.
Tell me about her, bro.
Ah, man. Amazing person.
Okay.
Helps me strive to be better. The way we met, actually, was very unexpected and random. I didn't expect to be in a relationship at all, you know?
Okay. How did y'all meet?
We met through a Twitch chat.
Okay. Like she was in chat?
No. So basically, there's a streamer event called Streamer Prom, and I needed a date. Ended up asking a bunch of people, and then I ended up going to another streamer's chat. Text.
Okay.
Typed in his chat. Yo, I don't remember exactly. I typed in his chat, and then Kaede, her sister, my girlfriend's sister, calls me. And is like, yo, why are you typing in tense chat? Or something along these lines. I don't know. My brain, I have very bad memory. But if I remember correctly, TLDR, Kaede, I asked Kaede, yo, can I go to the streamer prom with your sister Sakura? Horrible explaining.
And so did you know?
I would like type in Sakura's chat in the past, but minimal interactions. I don't really know her. Like, I knew of her.
Yeah, so y'all went to streamer. So your first date was streamer prom?
I don't know if I count that as a date.
Yeah, sure. Okay, fair enough.
Like, it was, like, more content, and, you know, I don't think it was a date. I think it was more, like, an experience. Our first experience together.
Okay. And what was that experience like?
It was fun. I had fun. It was a roller coaster that night. Emotions were high. Then got real low.
Emotions were high.
Yeah, as in, like, things were happy, things were good, we were dressed up, then we went to the streamer prom, then a series of events happened, then the car ride home was very silent, and then I ended stream, and then I had to go and fix some things.
Okay. What did you... Okay. Do you... Oh,
what?
Hold on. It looks like something is happening on my end, but...
No worries.
Okay.
Yo, prop production.
Nope.
Oh! Hold on now.
Yeah. Did that change? Okay.
They're sending clips.
Okay,
wait.
There we go.
Yeah, the chat might be sending you clips, so feel free to react to them.
I'm not going to react to anything while I'm talking to you.
Respect.
But okay, so you met this woman. So what do you want to talk about? Like, do you want to talk about relationships? Do you want to? I mean, I'm happy to hear more about this and your experience. But like, what do you want to talk about?
I would love to talk about managing an online relationship and how hard it can be. I want to talk about my parents, something I struggle with.
Okay.
Just talking to them. And,
okay.
You know, I really think about how old they're getting. Like, okay. I was on a call with my dad on this app called Zalo because he needs it to FaceTime me because he doesn't have Wi-Fi. He uses Zalo. And there's this profile picture of me and him, but when he was younger and when I was like a little kid, and I was looking at that profile picture while on FaceTime with my dad, like the profile picture's on in the corner, and I'm looking at my dad, and it's like, he's looking old.
So do you mind if I ask how old your dad is?
Born in 1957, so do the math, he's like...
That means he's 68?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Pretty and good. How old are you, Jason?
I'm 21.
Okay, so he was...
So, yeah.
Six when he had you.
Wait, what?
Right? He was 46 when he had you.
Oh, yeah.
How old is your mom?
My mom, born in 64.
64, okay. So she was 39.
Yeah.
Sounds like. Okay, do you have older siblings?
I'm an only child. I'm pretty sure I'm an accident.
Okay. Yeah. So one thing, Jason, I think we don't talk about this enough. Having older parents can be like quite challenging.
Yeah.
Like I think it's you know, like it can be challenging because they are at a certain age when you're like a teenager, you know. So, like, even thinking about, like, your dad is 67 and you're, like, 21. I mean, it's a pretty big gap. And, you know, some people will have kids. Let's say, like, if you have a kid when you're 30, you know, when you're 20 years old, your parent is going to be 50. There's a lot of stuff that y'all can do together. Like, you're still physically, like, quite fit, hopefully, at 50.
Yeah.
And it's challenging because there's also a lot, you know, there's a lot of time in those 46 years. And the world that you're growing up in is very different from the world that your dad grew up in.
Mm-hmm. My dad, he said he was walking to school with spikes, with heads on spikes from the Vietnam War.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if that's real, but he told me that story. Just, I don't know why I'm telling you. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're telling me because it's a really good example of there ain't nothing like that nowadays. Right, that was a long time ago. And I mean, I grew up in the 80s, and even back then, there weren't nothing like that.
Yeah.
So, you want to talk about your parents, or you want to talk about managing online relationships first?
I mean, we're on the topic of parents. We could go with parents first.
Yeah. So, what's it like to see your parents getting old?
Not good. Be honest, I cope with smiling because I grew up, I didn't really talk about my emotions a lot because that's just not how Asian parents operate. So if I smile a lot, I'm still being serious.
Yeah, but, you know, it's interesting you said that because I noticed right then and there how big that smile was.
Yeah, I'm smiling, yeah.
yeah, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's okay.
You were saying.
Yeah, go ahead. No.
Yeah, you know, no one wants to see their parents grow old, but as corny as it sounds, I was thinking about I was thinking about my future. I was thinking about having kids. Obviously, I don't want to have kids anytime soon yet, but I'm thinking about this, and I'm like, damn, my parents gonna see me have kids? Are my parents gonna see me do all these things when I'm older? Like, are they gonna be there when I get married? You know, things like that. It's just sad to think about.
When you say it's sad to think about.
Yeah.
How can I say this? I don't know if sad really captures it.
Maybe not the right word.
No, I mean, I'm sure there's sadness, but what I'm sort of hearing is like, you're gonna live your life potentially without them.
God forbid. Maybe they'll last till 100, hopefully, and then they get to see all that.
Sure. But that's not what I hear you being worried about, right?
Yep.
Right. So and it sounds rough, dude. Like, you know, because like you have a life ahead of you, and it sounds like you got a good life ahead of you. You know,
yeah. Whole, yeah.
Right. And the thought of them not being apart, watching it. Mm-hmm. What bothers you more?
Well, I'm my only child, so I feel like, you ever seen those videos of like the last sibling alive? The sibling saw all his family die, as dark as it sounds. Like, I feel like I'm about to be that person in my family, because everybody's old as shit in my family.
Hmm. So you're sort of the final person.
Yeah, I have to be the one to extend my bloodline. Or otherwise, it's just going to be me left.
Okay. Sounds lonely.
Yeah, that's what I'm scared of.
Yeah. So you're seeing being alone in the future.
Yeah.
What frightens you about that?
The thought of being alone, I think in general, is scary. You know, you don't have anyone to talk to about your real feelings. You don't, you're just alone. It's just sad.
Do you talk to your parents about your feelings?
No. Because
so how's that gonna?
I never did, and I feel like it's hard to, because I don't want to talk about sad stuff with my parents.
What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, it's just hard to. I never did growing up.
Do you want to talk to them about sad stuff?
Of course. And I have, actually. But then they end up, my dad or my mom ends up lecturing me about some, and I don't know, I can't be asked. But, you know, I want to.
What would you like them to do?
Just listen and just, you know, reassure me. I don't know.
I get the sense you're really missing something, Jason.
Damn.
Like missing it in like something's missing in your life.
You think so? What is missing?
I mean, if I had to sum it up, and I'm kind of tired. I've been traveling for the last week and giving talks and stuff.
Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, my pleasure, dude. It honestly is my pleasure and my privilege and my honor. But here's basically what I'm hearing. There's a relationship that you want with your parents, and I'm hearing dad more than mom, but we'll get to mom.
I am closer to my dad, I think.
Yeah, so you know, there's something we all know this isn't therapy, but there's one thing I learned about as a therapist, which is, you know, one time one of my mentors told me, it's the parent they don't talk about that's the problem.
Ooh, I've never heard that. My mom's nice.
I know. I'm sure. I'm not saying that I'm not saying that either of your parents is the problem, but what I mean is, like, for example, you know, when someone comes in, oftentimes what happens in families is one parent kind of takes point, but the other parent is kind of around. So I'll give you an example. Not saying that this is happening with you, but sometimes you'll have an abusive parent. And what'll happen is, you know, a patient will come into therapy and they're talking about their abusive parent, right? Because they got abused, right? Duh, right? Mm-hmm. But really where the money is oftentimes there's a lot of hidden resentment towards the good parent. Because, you know, dad used to hit me and mom let it happen. So mom picked up the pieces afterward. And so sometimes it's hard to get past it, to really heal, until you sort of acknowledge that. And that gets really hard, right? Because you had one protective parent and one not protective parent, but the protective parent didn't protect you enough. But the thought of having resentment towards your good parent there's so much conflict there. Does that kind of make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we can maybe talk about your mom, but I'm kind of curious what, so here's what I'm kind of getting from you is that you want a certain kind of relationship with your parents and you don't have that relationship. You don't know how to make that relationship.
Correct.
And time is running out.
Indeed.
So this sounds like a very serious problem that has a certain amount of urgency, but also doesn't have a deadline. And those are sometimes really hard to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do because I don't want to go to them and talk. Or not that I don't want, but I feel like I can't. Because when I do, they end up just telling me or just like pushing me off and being like,
Can you give me an example?
I was talking to them about, I did mention how they're getting old and they're like, and I asked them, do you want me to have a grandkid soon? Like as a joke. And my parents are obviously like, yeah. But focus on your life first. Like basically saying like, don't worry about it. Just do you and don't worry about us. I don't really know how to talk to them about how I really feel.
And how do you really feel?
I mean, I just feel like I said, just that I'm gonna lose them one day and they won't be able to experience the life I have ahead of me. Because I want him to experience it with me. And my dad also recently, he was like, I'm about to move to Vietnam and just like retire out there and die out there. I'm like, all right. I was like, okay. Because I would support him. Because he was asking me like, can I get a house out there so I can just retire and one day when I'm not able to like work, just peacefully be out in Vietnam.
You're talking about? And wait, so I'm a bit confused about pronouns there. So he wants to move out to Vietnam?
Yeah, like when he said like when he doesn't work anymore, or when he can't work anymore physically, he's just gonna go out there and live the rest of his days out in Vietnam. And I just have to support that. Because I don't want to move to Vietnam, but.
How do you feel about that?
It's sad. But I'm happy for him at the same time because I'm able to
get Jason, house do you feel there. Anger?
Anger? Nah, I don't feel anger.
In general?
Nah. I just kind of accept it.
Okay. Do you want me to listen to you?
Yeah.
Do you want me to explain things or do you want me to understand? Do you need someone to hear what your life is like or do you want someone to help?
Help. Both.
I want you,
but mostly explain. Both.
Mostly explain. Okay. So I'm going to ask again because I think this is important. So last time we talked, you mentioned at the beginning of our call that you ended up crying, and that wasn't something you expected. Like, do you want to have that again? You want to do that again? Like,
I mean, if it happens.
Okay.
But
so. Yeah, like if that's what you're looking for, I want you to close your eyes for a second and think about why we're talking, right? What is it that you want at the end of this conversation?
How do I move forward or how do I accept my parents' wishes? I don't know.
Well, first of all, okay, so I'm gonna do a little bit of older brother energy, okay. If that's okay.
That's fine.
Okay, so like not like psychiatrist, not like not like professional colleague, like. So let's talk for a moment, and I love you, bro, and I actually love your parents too, but let's talk for a moment about how f***ed up this is.
Okay.
I have a daughter. I had her when I was like early 30s, okay? My older daughter. Mm-hmm. I cannot imagine. Like, so you have such a limited amount of time with your parents, right? Like, you're 21 years old. You got a girlfriend.
I do got a girlfriend, though.
And like, you know, your life is like, you have a, like, I can see you're very happy with some parts of your life. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're on this upward trajectory, like, ain't no one want kids at 21.
No.
You know, so, like, you have time to, you know, get to know this person, and maybe this is the person that you have kids with. Maybe not. Who knows? You've got exciting horizons ahead of you. Mm-hmm. And your dad, not only do you have a very limited amount of time, let's say he's got maybe, I mean, hopefully he's got 30 years left. Maybe he's got 10, maybe he's got 20. But this guy, not only do you have a very limited amount of time with him, but he's going to cut it even shorter, move his ass over to Vietnam, leave you over here.
Yeah, I didn't really think about that, yeah.
Right? So I'm going to teach you something especially about men. Mm-hmm. So when men have too much unexpressed anger, it turns into sadness. And when people don't have enough sadness, it turns into anger. There's basically an alchemy between these two emotions. So you're seriously telling me, so this is how f***ed up this situation is. Mm-hmm. Your dad is not, like, you already have a short amount of time. And he's cutting it even shorter. He's like, I'm going to go live my life out there. Get wrecked.
Okay.
You just fend for yourself.
Okay, but I feel like, you know, he's done a lot for me. Like, he moved out here for me. And the least I can do is respect his dying wish.
Dying wish?
Not dying wish, but, like, you know.
Right? So now we get to the real, this is going to get worse, bro. Because it's like, he did you a solid, so you got to do him a solid. But he's still gone. Like, I get the logic of it. Uh-huh. I get the transactional nature. Like, you give me a dollar, I give you a donut. I get you, mm-hmm. Right? He made sacrifices for you, so you're going to make sacrifices for him. But is that's what you owe him? Is that what you want?
No, it's not what I want. But I owe him that. Yeah, I owe him that.
So let's be clear, right? There's a big difference. And this is the thing, man. Like, he's your dad. If there's one person on the planet, two people, that you... The whole point of being a kid is you get to ask them for what you want, right? They're the only people on the planet that are supposed to love you unconditionally. They're the only people on the planet that aren't supposed to be transactional.
That's true.
And he wants to leave you.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to make him out to be an asshole. You know, I don't even know if I'm right, but, like, I'm trying to put myself in your shoes. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to put myself like that, you know, like, does that kind of make sense? Like, I'm not trying to demonize him here.
Yeah, no, I get it.
But I think on some level, what I'm hearing from you, and you use the word dying wish. So it's like, he's going to be dead to you the moment he moves. He's going to be dead prematurely.
I mean, I would go visit every once in a while, but
I know, that's very far. But that's very different from him being around, right?
Yeah.
He's going to be like a dude you visit. He's not going to be a part of your life.
That's true.
How does it feel to hear me say this?
Not good. Not good at all. I didn't not really good. Think this deep into it. I kind of, like, when things happen, I kind of just, like, accept it and brush it off.
Yep. Yeah. So that's what we're going to change, because we're going to try to help you, right? And we're going to give it a good shot. Like, we're not going to let this end this way, right? I think the reason you reached out is because you don't want it to end this way, but you don't know how to change it.
It's true. I don't want to be like, yo, you have to stay here, even though that's what I want, because...
Okay, good. Keep going.
You know, my dad has done a lot for me. Like, he moved out here, you know, when my mom was pregnant with me and left everything he had in Vietnam. So me being you got to stay here because everything's here. Like, your whole family's here. It's kind of selfish of me as a son.
Did your dad have difficulty here?
Yeah.
Was it hard for him?
He doesn't speak English still to this day. He doesn't know how to operate the technologies since he's old. So he would always go to me for that. And, like, I would always help him pay whatever bills.
Yeah. Read
random letters from the government that I don't even understand.
I want you... This is important because I think you've... So it wasn't just that he moved here when your mom was pregnant. It's that he's continued to live in a place where he does not belong, in a place where he's not comfortable. Yeah. And every time he asks you to read a letter, like, you see that, you feel that, right? Like, that sacrifice, you love your dad a lot, and he's sacrificed so much, and that's something you understand very, very well, because he's still not here. He's already sacrificed so much of you, and you don't want to ask him to stay and continue to sacrifice.
Yeah.
You got to tell me if I'm wrong, because I'm just talking.
No, I mean, you're right. He did so much for me. I feel like it'd be wrong for me to be like, oh, you got to stay. Even though, like, he doesn't know how to speak English. He doesn't order food by himself.
Good. This is, we're gonna help you out here. And this is good for everybody watching, too. So I want you to notice the words that you're using. When you talk about him saying, do you notice what word you use?
No. What
have
word?
To. Have I don't to. Want to tell him he has to stay. You've said that 3 times in the last 30 seconds, 45 seconds. No one's saying, you got to tell him he has to stay. What should you say, Jason?
That he should want to stay? I don't know.
Oh, that's even deeper. Okay.
Yeah.
That hurts.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's not where I was going. But good. I'm glad I asked instead of that. He should want to stay. How does it feel that he doesn't want to stay?
Not good. Not good.
Okay, we're gonna expand your vocabulary.
That's yeah, good. No, I'm just like trying to gather myself right now. I'm like getting deep into my thoughts. I'm getting a little emotional.
Yeah. Right? So not good. That's okay. So here's a crazy question. What if you ask him, hey, Dad, I want you to stay. If you want to go back, I understand you don't speak the language. I understand you're an outsider here. But I don't want you to go. I want to have kids one day. I want you to be a part of my life. If you leave, I have friends. I've got this girlfriend. I have these millions of people on the internet. But I want you.
Yeah. Nah, but that's crazy to do, though, because I know that if I say that, he'll stay.
What's the problem with that?
Damn. I'm gonna go in circles.
You're going to go through... I didn't understand what that means.
I mean, he sacrificed a lot for me, so... I want him to live the rest of his life the way he wants to live. Not the way I want to want him to live. You know what I mean?
Okay. How you holding up? You doing okay?
You got me. You got me. I'm good, though. I'm good. Just, you know, okay. A bit vulnerable.
You say, I got you. I know what you mean. Haha. But I really do got you, okay? We got you, man. We got you. We're going to help. We're going to figure this out, bro. Okay. So, how can I say this? So he taught you a pattern, right? He taught you like this. The way that you relate to your dad is something you learned from him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You with me?
Yeah.
So it's like you don't ask him for stuff and he kind of doesn't ask you for stuff and you guys are kind of like separate. The one thing you never ask of a man or your dad is something that they can't provide. We never do that. It is an unspoken rule between men who love each other. You never ask for what someone can't provide because you never want to put them in the situation, the shame of saying, I can't do that for you. You know what I mean? Does that kind of make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm only going to ask you to do a solid for me if I know you can do the solid. But if you can't do the solid and you have to turn me down, there's just so much pain there. You kind of get me?
Yeah.
Okay. So I have this wild idea, and I'm going to just kind of jump to it, that maybe your dad thinks that he's a burden. Maybe your dad, every time that he asks you to read something because he doesn't speak English, you see the sacrifice and he thinks, oh my God, I'm holding my kid back. Oh my God, my kid is doing so well and I'm just holding him back. And there's this tiny, tiny, tiny possibility that he thinks he's doing you a solid if he goes. Then my kid doesn't have to take care of me. He doesn't have to do my tech. He can go live his life. He can be happy. And I can go back to where I belong. And like, this is the kind of shit that could happen. There's a very real chance that he wants you to tell him to stay. Right? But there's also like, I'm making some assumptions here. I have a lot of friends who are Vietnamese. But there's a certain amount of face saving here too. Like, you know why this is hard? You know what saving face is?
Could you explain that?
It's like, we don't want to do anything that is undignified, right? We're going to be strong. Like, we're not going to, like, cry and shit like that. Like, we're going to do things that we can, like, have some dignity.
Mm-hmm.
So you asking him to stay and making a sacrifice is like you're kind of putting yourself out there. It's, like, not super dignified. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand.
And it's like your dad is never going to – there's a certain amount of safe stuff that he can ask you to do. But there may be stuff that he wants that he would never ask of you. You know what I mean? Because if he asked you, then he would be like, it'd be kind of pathetic a little bit. It's not really, but that's how the culture is. You yeah. With me or not so much?
No. I think he's expressed that to me before.
What has he said?
Like, he said that he hates asking me for stuff. Like, doing stuff for him because he knows that I'm busy.
Yeah, right.
And then sometimes he says, like... when he calls me when I'm out here in LA, because he lives in Texas, like sometimes if he feels like he's bothering me, because you know he knows I'm busy out here, which is kind of sad, but I've always told him just call, I don't care, and he has been calling. But
yeah, so you guys are doing this, there's a possibility, we don't know, but there's a possibility that y'all are both like, y'all are some tragic rom-com with like, you know what I mean? Like, you want to do more for him. He wants to do more for you. Both of y'all are, like, sharing this burden of, like, I don't want to burden my son. And you're like, I don't want to burden my dad. I don't want to take away his happiness. I don't want to take away his... You see what I mean? It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Both of y'all. Whereas, like, you're okay with him. He's like, oh, my God. Every time I ask my son for help, every time I tell him I need help, it's such a burden on my son. But it's not a burden on you.
Yeah.
You kind of get what I mean?
Yeah.
And in a weird way, there's a very real possibility that we don't know, but there's a very real possibility. And I'm talking more because you got to let me know if you want me to stop at some point. Okay. There's a very real possibility that the thing that would make him the happiest is for you to tell him you want to stay. You want him to stay.
Okay.
Right. Cause then he's like, is it hard for him? Yeah. But then he's like, I'm doing it for my son. You know, I can do that. Like, whereas there's something about, you know, I've never met your dad, but there's something sad about him moving back to Vietnam because his son has a life over here, right? It's like he's got his life and you've got your life, and like, there may be some way to bring those two together.
Yeah,
and we're not saying yes to stay here the whole time, but you know, like there could be a very real, I don't know, like this is not some sexy emotional catharsis kind of stuff. This is like really practical communication of, hey, Dad, I don't want you to go back to Vietnam because I only have one dad and I don't have much family here. and acknowledging to him, I know you've made a ton of sacrifices. I know it's really hard for you to be here. I know that you feel guilty every time you ask me to do something, but you don't speak English. Like, I see how hard this life is for you. And I think there's immense value when you get frustrated with your parents. Part of the frustration is they don't see you. You get what I mean, Jason?
Yeah. Maybe I should ask him to stay. But like, even I feel like it's crazy to ask though, because I'm in LA a lot of the time of the year.
Hold on. So this, we got to expand your vocabulary.
You're not
asking him to stay. You're telling him that you want him to be a part of your life.
Okay.
You see what I mean? Like, let's not jump straight to a particular solution. Let's talk about our feelings without a plan.
Okay. I get it.
Right? This is how we communicate. And this is for everybody out there, right? So biggest problem that we have in relationships is that we tie a feeling to a plan automatically. Hey, bro, I feel insecure because I'm dating Jason the Ween. And Jason the Ween is hot. And it makes me feel insecure. Since I feel insecure, I can tell you that. Or I can be like, block that off your phone. Oh. Don't ever text her again. You see what I mean?
Ah.
There's like the insecurity. But if I go straight to the plan and I'm like, Jason, block that off your phone. And you're going to be like, there's nothing between us. Baby, I love you. And I'm like, nah, if you really love me, block that off your phone.
I'm understanding.
You got me? Right?
I get it.
Right? So we can deal with the emotion without jumping to a plan. And does he talk about the emotion? No, he jumps to a plan.
Okay. So.
And then you're like, I don't like that plan. And I'm like, I don't like that plan.
Okay.
Let's talk about the emotions. Hey, Dad, what do you want? What do you miss about Vietnam? Help me understand. If you want to go out there, like, you're right. You're in LA a lot. He's in Texas. What the f*** is he doing in Texas? Let him go to Vietnam. You see him just as often, but let him live in Vietnam. He's not abandoning you, but psychologically, it feels like a abandonment already when he's old. And there's this psychological, like, oh my God, my dad's going to abandon me because he's old, because he's going to die and I'm going to be 23. And I see how frail he is. And now my dad is choosing to move further away. And your mind is attaching all these psychological things. And he's like abandoning you twice. It's two abandonments, one willing and one by nature. And you get once by him and once by God. So you got to
double penetration.
Talk. Two thrusts, one penetration. Okay, so like it's about like understanding how you feel. So how do you feel, Jason? Let's articulate this first, right? Let's put words to it.
I would love for my dad to stay in Texas.
Right. Why?
Because, you know, my dad's a very important person in my life.
So if he's in Texas, what difference does that make to you?
It's only a 4-hour flight, and I can see him if I really needed to, like any time of the day.
Okay. How often do you see your dad?
Not that often. Not as often as I need to. Like, maybe once a month. But I speak to him frequently.
Okay, right. So you see him once a month?
Yeah, like in person, but I'd stay for maybe a couple days. Maybe even less than a month. Once every 2 months, sometimes.
Okay, so now this is making... So first of all, that's shocking. I mean, I think that's pretty rare. Like... When a kid leaves the house to see your parents once a month, that I don't think many 21-year-olds who are like living a couple states away see their parents once a month. I could be wrong there, but
well,
that's really
I
nice.
Try for once a month, but recently it's like I haven't seen him in like maybe a month and a half now.
All right, so now this makes sense, because if he goes, I didn't realize you saw him so much. So it sounds like, you know, seeing him is a big part of your stability.
Yeah. But this might be crazy to say, I go back because he's like asking me. He's like asking me, you know, when are you going to be back? And, you know, I obviously want to go back, but like I sometimes choose and push it off.
Yeah, of course.
Because like I'm out here doing stuff.
Grinding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grinding, you know. Dating.
Listen, yeah, like my dad would be like, when are you coming back? And I'd be like, I'd set a date to it. And then something would be happening on that day, and then I'd be like, next time, bah. And it hurts, but that's like sacrifice, and I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. So, Jason, here's the biggest thing you got to do. Like, I think, like, this is, right now, you're trying to solve this problem, right? And he's trying to solve this problem.
Yeah.
But y'all aren't solving it together. That's the biggest problem here. Right? So I think it starts with like, hey, like, you know, I know you want to move back. I know you don't like it here. I know I'm busy. It's still important for me to see you. Like, I like to see you. It's just going on. Here's what's going on. Do your parents understand what your career is like?
Yeah.
You're like, you've blown up in the last year or two, right? Like, you're getting huge or some shit. I don't really know, but.
Yeah, my dad understands. My dad's actually really proud of me. He talks to me. Yeah. Talks about me throughout my whole family.
Nice.
And like, I'm like their golden child. Like,
yeah.
They speak very highly of me.
Okay. Okay. And you still have some emotional needs that it's tricky, right? Because you don't have time to go visit them, but then you still need them.
Yeah.
So that makes you feel.
Yeah, right? It's like I have to pick
punk ass. Yeah, right.
I have to pick my career or my parents, but I love both. Obviously, I should be picking my parents because, you know, it's family and they're not here for too much longer. But I feel like
so then you feel guilty
if I go home. I don't know. It's a fucked up.
You feel guilty?
Yeah, I feel guilty. I feel guilty.
Right? Yeah. So I'm gonna teach you one or two things about how to deal with that guilt. Okay. And like, if you want to be like crying more, we can do that. Do you want? Is that what you want to be doing?
I mean, right, listen. You talk, and then we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Don't mind crying.
So here's something really cool. I'm gonna teach you a trick. So sometimes I have patients who come into my office, and they've been through some really bad shit, man. Oh. You know, I can't do anything about that. You get what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't fix anything outside of my office. And what people need to hear is not that you fix their problems. This is a huge mistake that everybody on the planet makes, basically everybody on the planet. It's like you're stuck, right? Because you love your parents and you love your job. And you love your parents are really important to you and your job is really important to you. And you're a f-ing streamer, which means that, you know, when your stock is rising, you f-ing ride that, right? Because it's... like, we don't know how long this is going to last.
Yeah.
Right? So when you're popping off, you got to pop.
You got to pop. You got to ride it.
Right?
And sometimes...
Right? and right now, it's Sakura?
Sakura, yeah. That's my girlfriend, yes.
Yeah, right? So, like, you know, when she's into you, like, you got to... You got to make the most of it. You never know how long that will last. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, facts.
Yeah. Right, so like you're really stuck because like you care about your parents and they're important to you, but you care about your career too, and like this is important to you. Mm-hmm. And so then you're stuck thinking, okay, like how do I solve this? So the way what matters to human beings is not actually solving it. It's them knowing if you share with someone, hey, like I'm stuck. I love you. I care about you. You're important to me. My career is important to me. I love what I'm doing out here. I'm living my life. I'm doing well. I'm stuck. I don't know how to fix this. I want to visit you more often. You're staying here. I understand you don't want to be here. I understand your life would be better in Vietnam. I understand the sacrifices that you make. I still want you here. I understand that's selfish to say. Does that kind of make sense? You share with them your stuckness. And the most important thing for them is to know that you care, to know that you acknowledge their sacrifice and their difficulty. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, you don't actually have to solve the problem. I know it sounds insane.
Mm-hmm. I think that I've always been the type to, like, always try to think of solutions.
Yes.
I never really talk about how I feel. And my dad is the same exact way.
Right, because you learn that from him.
He instantly tries to solve things.
Yep, and that's why he lectures you. You know why he lectures you? Because when you talk real shit to him, he feels emotions, and he doesn't know how to handle that. So he's going to start lecturing you because he can't sit with what you were showing him. Mm. And then you get turned down, which is, by the way, why he does it. Because the moment he starts lecturing, you shut the fuck up.
It's true.
And then it's like, okay.
I just kind of sweep start it saying, okay.
Yeah, right? Like, and then he gets you stuck. And then what you got to really do is you got to ride that out. Mm. I don't know if that kind of makes sense. Do you see how he's like, you're opening the door and then he's shutting it. Mm. And now y'all are back to being safe. So there's a lot going on there, but I really think this is about, I mean, it's really about conversation. I can understand. By the way, I really don't blame you, but I got kid didn't do his homework energy when you showed up. And you say you have a bad memory. You don't have a bad memory. Did you look at notes from our conversation or watch the VOD from a year ago?
No.
You remembered.
I remembered. I didn't watch it. I didn't rewatch it.
I don't remember what we talked about, but I remember we talked about you talking to your dad.
I didn't remember that.
I knew that you weren't going to do it, and that's okay.
I did not do it. I said I would, though.
I know. You didn't know how to.
I didn't know how to.
Yeah, so that's okay. Right? So these things happen. They happen slowly. Have some compassion for yourself. I would have been surprised if you had, but I think it's... I asked you to do something that was near impossible. Like, talking to your dad sounds simple, but it's actually very hard. It's a skill set that you have been deprived of. Mm-hmm. So it's very difficult. And I think that you know, we can talk about you talking to your dad, but I don't know if that's going to work. What do you think?
I don't think it's going to work. Oh, I need another thing. When my dad FaceTimed me in Vietnam and he was chilling with his brother out there, he looked so happy. Like, the happiest I've ever seen him in a very long time. So, going back to talking to him about staying here, it's crazy for me to ask that.
Yeah, I don't know so, how but to ask that. We're not going to ask
that. Oh, yeah, tell him how I feel.
Right? So tell him that you're going to, if he goes back, like, you understand. And I think you got to share that with him. You know, the last time I saw you FaceTime with your brother, it's the happiest I've seen you. And I understand why you would want to go back. And I don't want to take that away from you. And you've already sacrificed so much. I want you to be happy. You know, I'm doing okay now. I don't need you to be here, but I want you to be here. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm worried that you're getting older, and I'm 21 years old. And I know I don't come back very often, but when I do, I really need you. The world that I live in is a scary place. A lot of fake relationships. You know, I've got a girlfriend and it's great, and I have good friends, but like, there's no substitute for you. And I don't know what to do, because on the one hand, asking you to stay, I know that I'm asking you to sacrifice more. I know I'm taking away your happiness. But the thought of you going and knowing that I don't know how many years you have left on this earth, losing you early, and every month that I don't see you, like, I don't know how many, you know, weekends we have left.
Yeah, fucking hell.
What is that like to listen to when I say it like that?
I'm just trying to think of my dad's reaction to me saying that.
Yep.
I don't know how he would react.
Very good. Right? So this is what's important about that. If you don't know how he would react, that means y'all haven't had that conversation yet. You kind of get what I'm saying? So this is like new. That's exactly the conversation you need to have, and it's unexplored territory. Right? So and then you can get to solutions. It's going to kind of, you know, you may stun lock him a little bit, because he knows, like, when you come at him with the feelings, he's like, I'm going to give you a lecture, right? So paper, rock, scissors. This ain't paper, rock, scissors. This is a, I don't know, something else. You know, so that's kind of the point, right? That's the conversation that you need to have. And sharing with him that you feel selfish. I mean, he's your dad. Like, he'll you know, you guys sounds like you have a really strong relationship at its core. Mm-hmm. And even kind of telling him, I don't know what the right solution is, like, And I think there's probably some practical middle ground of very, very meaningful interactions that are a little bit less rare.
I am going to have that conversation with him. And I know I said that last time, but I actually am this time. I'm just going to tell him how I feel. And hopefully I don't get lectured. If I do, then GG's.
Well, so you can also tell him, hey, Dad, like, I know you may, like, lecture me after this, but, like, you know, I want to know how you feel. I don't want to know what the solution is. Like, you know, you can ask him, when I say this, what is it like to hear it? So I know it's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. I mean, that, like, I'm asking too much of you too fast, Jason. So sharing all that all at once is hard enough. Mm-hmm. But then writing out the lecture. So practically what you probably want to do is just write out the lecture.
Okay, right.
Right. So don't shut off and just listen. What you need to understand is when he lectures, that's like your equivalent of a smile. Right? Right. So he feels a lot of negative emotion. He doesn't know how to. So he stops, like, it hurts in here. So he starts operating from up here. Let me fix this problem for you, because if you fix the problem, then you're not going to have the negative emotion. Then I don't need to sit with the negative emotion. You with me? If you're not with me, let me know.
No, okay? I get it. It's his way of coping.
Well said. Lecturing you is the ultimate copium of an Asian parent.
True.
Right?
True.
So we just need to be a little bit careful about that. You got to kind of write it out. You got to be mentally prepared for that. Do you miss your dad?
Yeah.
Do you tell him that?
No. I don't know.
So, you know, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I should tell him. I don't know why I don't.
Does he miss you?
Yeah.
Does he tell you that?
Yeah.
Right, and then there's a lot here, man. There's guilt, there's sadness, there's anger. You still have anger? You get access to anger, or not so much yet?
No, I don't see it. I don't feel anger.
Okay. So we'll get there. Talk about your mom. No, I'm kidding. No, but I think it's important. I mean, as part of your journey, you know, you need to, not need to, but there's a 95% chance that you need to unlock a little bit of that anger.
Damn.
It can be anger towards yourself, even when you feel guilty. You are you angry with your? Do you beat yourself up? Do you say you're a bad, ungrateful son and shit like that?
No, I really don't feel the angry emotions. Okay. I just get sad. I'm never the type to get angry. I feel like most
where
of
you,
the time.
Okay, yeah. So not everybody is like this, but oftentimes. So Freud said, you know, Freud is.
I do.
Okay, so Freud said, I don't know, I'm not trying to say you're dumb or anything like that. I just don't know what, you know, there's some 6-7 business going on right now. I don't know what that is, but my kids are doing it all the time. So Freud said that depression is anger turned against the self. So when we feel a lot of sadness, sometimes anger is, there's just a relationship between those two. That's okay, but I wouldn't jump to having a conversation with your dad. Like, I think you should have one, but don't commit to it yet, right? Like, sleep on it, think about it, see how it feels in the light of tomorrow.
Well, I probably wouldn't talk about it for a while, because he's getting in Vietnam for a month, and I would want to have a conversation with him in person about this.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk more about this, or you feel like this is good enough for now?
I think this is good. I think that was great.
Okay.
That was great.
You want to talk about your mom, or you want to talk about relationships? Moving on? Moving on or done for the day?
Let's move on. Let's get one more topic, I feel like. Or
relationships or mom?
What do you think? Next topic?
I think relationships.
Relationships? Okay.
Yeah, I think mom for... I think enough about the fam.
Mom is good. I don't have anger towards my mom.
Fine.
Let's do it.
I mean, she's an ally in this conversation. If your dad moves back, what happens to your mom? By the way.
Wait, one more time? My mom would stay here.
Really?
I think my mom would stay
here. In Texas?
Yeah. Because my mom's side of the family is in Texas. My dad's side of the family is all in Vietnam.
So this gets complicated, man. This is like... this gets complicated. So I wouldn't jump. You know, it's easy for me to listen to you for 15 minutes and bestow upon you my divine wisdom. But the truth of the matter is, when the rubber hits the road, it's way more fucking complicated than we're making it out to be here.
Yeah.
And so I think it has to happen slowly. And, like, you know, it's fine that we talked about it a year ago, but I think it's okay. Go slow. You've got a little bit of time. But don't, just because it doesn't have a deadline doesn't mean that you shouldn't be, like, grinding at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me about relationships. What's the deal there?
Actually, do we need to talk about relationship? Because my relationship is pretty good, obviously.
You said managing relationships was one of the two things you wanted to talk about today.
That's true. I guess sometimes it's good right now. Obviously, there's been a bit of hiccups that were showed online, but that was the past. Right now, it's been pretty good. Our relationship is private for the most part. Like, obviously, we tell stories about us on stream, but... friendships. Yeah, friendships.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I wrote down managing relationships. I didn't know what I mean.
I guess we can talk about friendships. Yeah, we can talk about.
Sure. Yeah. Well, dude, I mean, whatever you want to talk about. I'm here for you, bro.
I don't really hang out.
There's that smile.
With people.
There's that smile. Okay.
Besides sometimes with people in this house. But most of the time, it's just me, my girl.
You and a girl?
Yeah, my girlfriend.
Okay. So, how do you feel about that?
I would like to hang out with more friends, make more friends. But at the same time, that takes up a lot of my time. And time is money. So, I end up not doing that.
Okay.
So, it's
so
like
what's the problem?
I guess a lot of the times, the thing that I struggle with, same thing with my parents, is picking my career over my relationships. And that is something that I struggle with.
You know, what is the struggle?
I lost a lot of, no, I didn't lose, but like I just slowly distanced myself from friends either back at home or just friends out here. I just slowly stop talking to them if they're not around me. But I would like to keep those relationships alive. Does that make sense? It's like kind of...
It does. No, I think it makes sense. I'm trying to think about how to respond. So... Can I think for a second?
Yeah. I peaced out on my day ones.
Well, I don't know what that means.
I left my day ones back in Arlington, and I feel bad sometimes, but...
What is a day one?
Like, people I was friends with before I was a streamer, before I was who I am today.
How do you feel about that?
I'm not really that. In my head, I kind of just accept it. Like, oh, it's sacrifice. Like, I put time into this and not time into my relationships. It's just bound to happen. So I kind of just accept it.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, I guess nothing.
I mean, do you feel lonely?
No.
Do you feel like you should prioritize friendships more?
Yes. Because...
Where is it? Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, what is the point of being successful and making money and doing all these great things if you have no one to celebrate it with?
Do you have no one to celebrate it with?
I do. I obviously have the people closest to me, but it's a very small circle.
Do you feel guilty Or do you think that you should behave differently?
I think I should behave differently.
Okay. So this is one of those things where okay, yeah, okay. Yeah, so we gotta this is gonna be a bit different, okay? So we have this idea.
Is
right?
that narcissism?
Other people will think it is. But it's not, in my opinion.
Okay.
Okay. We'll get to this. So let's just think through this, okay? So you said you're 21, right?
I am 21.
Yeah. How long have you been streaming?
Man, like maybe 3 years now, 2.5-ish, 3 years.
Okay. Do you feel like you're better than your friends?
Friends as in who? Like the people back at home? Or yeah. people outside of this space?
Yeah. Like the people that you should be more friends with. Do you feel like you're better than them?
Sometimes. But okay, good. I know it's wrong to feel like that. It's
Why is it wrong to feel like that?
Because we all bleed the same. We all shit the same. We all are just humans.
Okay. All right, this is going to be different, Jason. No tears today.
No tears.
Okay? Okay, yeah. I mean, maybe not. But so I think there's this weird...
Being honest.
Yeah, good. I think it... So a narcissist, by the way, would not give the answer that you gave. A narcissist would say, absolutely not. I'm not better than them. We're all the same. You said, I feel like on some levels I am better, but I know that's not true. A narcissist would behave in a way that makes them look good to the outside. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
So let's talk about narcissism for a second.
Okay.
People who are narcissistic are fundamentally usually insecure. Okay? That's why they need everyone to tell them that they're great, because they don't believe it in here. Mm-hmm. So I need everyone around me to think I'm great, to compensate for not feeling great deep down.
Yeah.
So a narcissist, it's way harder for a narcissist to admit, right? So if you've ever had a narcissist in your life, or people who are watching, like, you know, like they can't ever admit that they have a bad feeling. Mm-hmm. Like if you tell a narcissist they're arrogant, they won't say like, yeah, I'm arrogant. You know, they'll say like, I'm right. Like I'm not arrogant, like whatever. But so I think that it can feel. And we live in a society where we don't acknowledge like a couple of truths. So the first of those is that we all develop at a different rate.
Mm-hmm.
And if I look at my friends, like I had friends that I used to play with on the street at school. I mean, when I was like growing up. And then I had friends in high school. And then I had friends in college. And then I had friends in med school. And then I had friends in residency. And the truth of the matter is that, generally speaking, you separate from your friends. People have different developmental trajectories, and we tend to compare those. We say, oh, I'm better than you because I'm... In my case, I was the loser, right? So I remember when I was 27 years old, 26 or 27, I went to a... you have thoughts?
No, you're just 26, 27.
Okay. 6'7"? That's six. Okay. Yeah. That is me. All right, anyway, so I remember like I went to a Christmas party, and it took me 5.5 years to graduate from college.
Damn.
And I had a friend who went to an accelerated medical program, where she started med school at the age of like 18, and she was done by 24. Mm. So I was 27. It took me 5.5 years to graduate. I had applied to med school for 2 years in a row, got rejected from 80 med schools. And so we met one day, and I was asking her, oh, you know, what are you up to? And she's like, oh, you know, I'm almost done with my residency training. I finished med school 3 years ago. Mm. And I was like, well, I'm applying. Mm. And it's like, we used to sit next to each other in class, and like, I am so far behind her.
Mm.
Like, it's like not even close, man.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think one thing, and I used to be butthurt about that. Like, that used to really bother me, where I was like, oh, I'm such a loser and she's so far ahead of me. But then over time, I realized, I don't know if this makes sense, but that's, and I won't go there, but that's just the way things are, right? So like, if I'm behind her, that's an objective statement of fact. It doesn't mean I agree with you that we all bleed the same blood and we're all human beings at the end of the day. I don't think a human being on its most fundamental level is more valuable than another human being. But 21-year-olds who have an established professional career that are also arguably in the top echelon, top tier of that career. So you have a career and you're very successful within that career. If you take the 10 million influencers on the planet, you're like probably in the top 1%. Right?
Yeah.
So you are different. And it is a weird arrogance or false human, like, to not acknowledge the truth is not good. I don't think that's good. It doesn't mean that you're better than anyone else, but you are accomplishing more than the people you went to high school with. That doesn't make you arrogant. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right? So like, we have to acknowledge the you know, the truth of the matter. And I don't know how to say this, like, so, you know, I trained at Harvard Medical School, which is an accomplishment. Damn. And there are other people who trained at other schools. It doesn't mean that I'm a better psychiatrist than anybody else, but there's a pretty good chance that the education that I got and how much I learned coming out of the gate there separates me from some of my colleagues. Like, I don't think you have to be, like, I don't think all the best doctors go to Harvard by any means. My dad didn't go to Harvard. He was an amazing doctor. You know, and so I don't think there's, so I think there's some nuance here that's important. It's like, we tie these two things together. But I think one thing that is really hard for a lot of people is understanding that many of us grow past our friends. And it's a harsh thing to say. I'm not saying, like, we're better than them. But, like, some people just get their shit together. Mm. I would venture that most 21-year-olds do not prioritize their career over their social circle. Mm. And you do. You make different choices, which means you end up in a different place. It doesn't mean that you're better than anyone, but it does mean that your life is different. And it means that your peers will change. So I played a lot of video games with people when I was failing out of college and all this kind of shit. And then, you know, 20 years later, I'm in one place, they're in a different place. Our places are not comparable by any means, by any objective standard.
Yeah.
Does it mean that I'm better than them? No. But I think I lived life better than they did. I made choices that were different. Now I've come to also understand that I was luckier. Really, that's a huge part of it. Right? So I had certain support systems and opportunities that I absolutely took advantage of. But I think it's stupid to compare because it's like everyone's circumstances are different.
Do you still have friends back in like high school or college?
I would say I still have strong bonds with some people. But I would say that I see them exceedingly rarely. I see them once a year or less. So I think we just all have our own lives. I'm a little bit older than you, so it's a little bit different, right? Because like most of us have kids and like that, so we're like busy with that stuff. But
yeah.
But I mean, I think that, you know, in terms of professional success, you know, I did pretty well compared to many of my peers.
So
and basically, my oldest friend is the only person I can think of who, you know, out of my original group of friends, where we're both very lucky and very successful. And everyone else is doing okay. Like, they're doing good. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. Actually, I take that back. I mean, several of my friends are doing really well, but
some are left.
It's not even, like, left behind. It's just, you know, like we all make choices, and our choices land us in particular situations. And we have to understand that that doesn't mean, I don't know if this makes sense, but the problem is not that you are more professionally successful than your friends. The problem is that if you make your self-worth tied to your professional success. Mm. Does that make sense?
So you're saying it's okay that I left my day ones back in Arlington?
Absolutely, right? And so this is the kind of thing where I worked with, you know, I was talking to a couple of streamers, I forget, or sorry, YouTubers, And you know, it was really interesting. I don't remember who, and it's going to come to me, but just ultra successful YouTubers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a couple of them, like one of them woke up one day and was like, I'm going to stop being a loser and I'm going to start doing this YouTube shit. And then he talked to a couple of his friends and then he was like, you know, I want to do this. Who's in with me? And then basically one of his friends said, I'm in with you. And everybody else was like, we're going to continue doing whatever the fuck we're doing. And then the two of them moved in together. They started making content, became uber successful. And so like sometimes like you got to live your life, right? It doesn't mean that you don't like them or you're better than them or anything like that. But I think it's really weird, but we don't realize that a lot of life is leaving people behind. Mm. As we grow and as we change, you know, sometimes it's sad, but sometimes that results in divorce. Like we got married and we used to be particular people when we were 24. And 10 years later, we've turned into different people. We're not the same people we were. I continued to grow and change and you did not. And we're not a good match anymore. Mm. I started working harder. You started working less. And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. And that's okay. And so I think if you don't feel bad about it, maybe they will think you're a prick. But unless you're actually behaving like a prick, that's on them, not on you. You're not responsible. This is every narcissist's prayer. I'm not responsible for the way that people's opinions of me, right? But seriously,
yeah.
It's like, are you a prick to them? Do you behave in a way, like, do you show up and you flex and you're like, oh, y'all, like, y'all are broke and I got all this money. And like, you know, if you're acting like a prick, then you're acting like a prick.
Understood. So,
but if it's like, look, you're 21 years old and go ahead.
Nah, I was just going to be like, yeah, I feel like that makes sense. What you're saying makes sense to me. Okay. Thank you. So, I mean, you basically just reassured me that,
yeah,
you know, these are normal human decisions and that I'm not. Yeah.
I would say what you're experiencing is developmentally appropriate. Mm-hmm. So I think where you are, I think if you want to make friends, you probably don't. I think you would be surprised at how strong friendships can be if they're significantly older than you.
Mm. So I think a lot of the people that I talk to the most outside of streaming and even in streaming are people that are older than me.
Yeah.
Like,
why?
Because I feel like, I don't know. I just, but most of my friends are all older than me.
Almost. What do you like about spending time? What's different about spending time with them compared to,
I guess,
people your own age?
They might understand me more, or they are good at giving advice, or they know how to handle a situation that I might not know how to handle.
Is it reciprocal?
Huh?
Do you help them?
If they ask, and if I'm always open to help.
But does that actually happen, though? Are you capable of helping? And do they ask for help?
Sometimes I call them, and then I ask, and then say thank you and then talk about random other things, but no one's ever asked me for help. I don't think of it.
Right? So I think it'll come. it's a little bit weird.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think Jason, the thing you got to understand, man, this is true for everybody who's watching, like your life is unique, man. And so a big part of like being in your 20s, especially, is like understanding that the rules of life only apply to you up to a certain percent. And the rest of it, you got to figure out on your own. Mm. Right? So don't hold yourself to the standard that society holds you to. There's really a really interesting phenomenon called a quarter life crisis. It's kind of like a midlife crisis, but it happens to people in their 20s.
Oh, God.
And you're in the process of kind of going through it right now. I think you've navigated a piece of it, but like, and that's where you sort of realize, like, okay, because when you're a teenager, it's like everyone is telling you what you should be doing. And at some point you start doing things that are not what you should be doing, but they work way better for you. Does that kind of make sense? Like, you know, I'm sure your parents told you that you should go to college.
Yeah.
Right? And did you do that?
I did, and then I lied to them for a couple of months about being in college, and then I dropped out way before I told them the truth, and then I finally told them.
Right. So like, I think, like, so you got to live your life, man. And if you're feeling guilty, that's a little bit different because that could be a signal. That doesn't make you a prick. It just means that maybe you're, like, aligned. Like, we don't, you know, maybe you're a prick and we don't realize it. But I think, like, if you don't feel guilty about it, like, this is, I'm hearing a lot of, like, oh, I should be this way, but I don't really want to be this way and I'm not really bothered by it. That's the energy I'm getting from you right now.
Yeah.
But if I admit that to myself, I'm a prick.
Yeah. It might.
I don't think so.
Oh.
But we could ask other people, right? Like I really don't think you're an asshole. I think you're just a kid you're an outlier. Mm. You know what that is?
Yes.
Okay. Right. So you're a statistical anomaly, which means that, and that doesn't, and maybe that makes people like, you know, there are people on Reddit who are like, I'm a statistical anomaly. Like, but I don't get that energy from you. I think you're just different, and it's hard because the script of regular life may not apply to you. And I think more people, and I hope that people who are listening to this, being a successful streamer is not a prerequisite for being an anomaly. Like, you can be unsuccessful too and still be an anomaly. The rules of society work for, like, normies, dude. And we're not normies. And we got to stop trying to live like normies. Because it ain't working.
Understood. I get it.
If you feel alone, then you should reach out to people, you know, and like you want to hang out with people. Like, I think you should get professionally connected. Like, you should, you know, that's good. Like, yeah. Hang out with people, learn. And
I think it's good to talk to other people. I mean, even before I met my girlfriend, I would not hang out with anyone off stream. Just occasionally hang out with like the face guys, but every night, most of the time is, I mean,
do you want to hang out with people?
Huh?
Do you want to hang out with people?
Sometimes I get lonely before. This is how I felt before. I was like, sometimes I'm lonely. I want to hang out with people. But most of the time, I kind of just turn on like a show or anime and just watch it until I go to sleep after like I'm done streaming for the day.
Yeah. I think that's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when I was, when I first moved to Boston, I didn't know anyone. And I was like, oh my God, like, I don't know anyone. I need to make a bunch of friends. And so I like joined a bunch of like clubs and stuff like that. And then about 2 weeks in, I was like, wait, hold on a second. I don't know anyone. I don't have a social life. And maybe I can just hang out by myself for a year and like not interact with other humans. So I'd go to my work. I got a job. But other than that, I was just by myself. And I think it was one of the best years of my life. Like, it was great. Yeah. Actually, I take that back. Recent years have been way better, but it was great. I mean, I think some of us are just not wired to always be socially hanging out with people. And I think solitude is very, very good. It's very healthy. So if you don't feel lonely, so solitude and loneliness may seem like the same thing, but they're not at all psychologically. And so if you're kind of in this period of like solitude, like stick with it, man.
All right.
Well, don't be a prick.
I'm not going to be a prick. Oh, I'm going to try not to.
Good. Yeah.
Thank you. So
that was a really good answer. I don't know if you caught what you did there. Did you catch what you did? I'm not going to be a prick. And then what did you say after that? I'm not going to be a prick. And then I said
CTE. I might be a prick.
Right. You said I at least I'm going to try not to.
I'm going to try not to be a prick. Yeah, that's what I said.
Right. So here's the cool thing. People who acknowledge that they may fail at being a prick, those are the ones who aren't pricks. It's the people who are sure they're not a prick. Right? And sometimes you'll see this on places like Twitch when there's drama between streamers. When there's drama between streamers and they get into beef, they're like, I ain't the prick, they're the prick.
That's how it is, man.
Yeah.
That's how it is. A lot of drama.
Yeah. I think you're just living your life, man. It's okay. There are problems. You'll deal with them. Ask for help. Good job.
Thank you, Doc.
You're very welcome. This is enough for today, or
yeah. This is great, man.
Good.
So
I wish.
I just need to come out of this. I need to have that conversation with Ba. That's very important to me. But
yeah.
I know that I will maybe hold it off for a while. But I need to do that. Like, that's a conversation I gotta
have. I have some thoughts. Let me sleep on it and I'll shoot you a quick DM if that's okay. But
yeah.
I think, you know, if you have some hesitation, take some time to think through that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, good work today, man.
Thank you, Doc. This was amazing.
All right. Good luck.
All right. Have a good one.
Yeah.
Peace.
Take care, buddy.
See ya. Same time next year?
Sure.
All righty. All
right. Take care, man. Bye.
Peace. Man, shout out to Dr. K. Shout out to Dr. K. Dude, I cried, man. Y'all on free later, want to hang out? I'm good off you, bro. Dr. K said it's okay to leave your day ones back in Arlington. That's what I also got out of that. It's okay, Chad, to leave your day ones in Arlington as long as you're doing something good for yourself. Like, if you're career focused, it's naturally gonna happen. This is what I realized, man. Like, sometimes I think, like, when I go back to Arlington, I'm like, I don't really got anyone to hang out with when I'm out here, except my family, which is fine. But, like, I used to have a lot of homies back in Arlington. Left them all. Yep, he's a prick. Shout out to Dr. K. Bro, he made me cry. Chad, did y'all cry? I got emotional there. Got a little emotional. Oh my god! Ugh. No. Invite him to Friendsgiving. You're a Chad. I gotta talk to Ba, man. That's what I gotta do. I gotta talk to Ba. Bruh, stop all that and just do Coco Me and Adderall. Let's send it at the club. Yeah, I shared a lot about Ba. It is crazy though, like, Ba about to go to Vietnam. Or he's going to Vietnam this year. Or this month, he's in Vietnam right now with my mom, scoping out the land that my granddad lived in, because that house got wrecked. So he's trying to rebuild it, and then he wants to like retire and live out his life there. And I told him I would fund it. Like, when he asked me, I was like, of course, yeah. And he was like, would you care if I moved out here and live the rest of my life out here? And I was like, I was instantly like, yeah, of course. But I guess deep down, it's kind of sad to think about. And then my mom's gonna be out here, so then they're split. It's weird to think about. Bag gonna see this on his Facebook feed and say all that crying? Dude, I don't know how my dad would react to this.